shorter than our man Wild Bill. He was Cupid earlier this year. It's got to be distracting shooting free throws.
Listening to Aggie Legends podcast, Legendary Aggie Tales with Wild Bill. I am your host. I have my co-host here, Kellen Hansen.
Hello.
This is our first podcast, our inaugural podcast. So we'll just kind of lay it out for you, let you know what we're here doing. Why are we even doing a podcast? Well, as many of you know, if you're listening to this, especially the first one, you know me and you know I'm passionate about my Aggies, my Utah State Aggies. I love Aggie sports, all things USU. I'm passionate about it. And Kellen here is as well. Kellen, yes, loves Utah State. We're both pretty much Cache Valley boys.
Yep.
And we've grown up loving Utah State, but we want to share our love, our passion, and everything, all things Utah State with everybody. And kind of what our goal is here, the thing Kellen and I, we were talking about, we realized that we really think that every Aggie is a legend, and we want to know their stories. So that's why we're here. We want to know your story. You have legendary tales. Everybody does. You know, this is, the podcast is Aggie Legends. I'm not calling myself a legend.
No, not by any means.
That's not what this is.
I think you are, but I don't feel like I am. So.
What it is, we think there's so many legends out there. So we're talking about Aggie Legends. We're talking about the people, the legends of different mm-hmm. Aggie things.
The stories, whether we were involved with them directly or not.
Yeah.
If we can get the people that we're involved with them, we'd love to talk to them, that kind of
exactly.
thing.
You know, we have high hopes to talk to people down the road. I really want to talk to some of the boys that were involved in the UNLV water bomb.
I don't know if you told me that story.
I've seen video, and it's seriously. And I've actually met a couple of the guys, but I'd love to get them on here. And
yeah. Share that story.
Share the story. I won't get too much into it because hopefully we can get them
spoilers.
On here.
Yeah.
But seriously, man, they were insane.
Yeah.
Smart guys.
A lot of effort.
Yeah. Smart guys that, you know, knew what they were doing and they yep. knew how to play around. So, so that's what we're doing here. We're here to share our love with Utah State. We'll talk about, you know, all the legendary stuff. But also current events. We want to talk current climate, Utah
yeah,
State kind of sports, all things Aggies, though. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm mostly known for basketball, but I'm a fan of all sports. I went to lots of women's soccer games. I've been to lacrosse games, mm-hmm. you know, baseball games. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it, but Kellen here was on the USU mm-hmm. baseball team.
And coached it for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all Aggie sports. This is, you know, 100% just all things Aggie. We want to talk about Utah State and what it means to be an Aggie.
Absolutely.
And a legendary Aggie.
Yeah, at that.
Which
yeah.
we're all legends, right?
Yes, sir. We'll keep that theme rolling.
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, we'll have, you know, we'll have lots of our friends on here and we'll make new friends as we have them. So,
yeah,
you know,
that'll be the fun
we're
part.
We're really excited to get going. So I hope you guys enjoy the ride with us. I hope you enjoy kind of, you know, the vision that we have to share this fun thing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Kellen, to get started, let's talk a little bit about you.
Yeah.
From Tremont and Preston.
Correct. I claim them both. Grew up the important years in Preston, so yeah. Junior high school.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, so just up the road from Logan, 25, 30 minutes, depending on what part of Logan you're driving from.
Yeah.
No, but you're always going to get to Preston in that time frame. There's no other parts of Preston. There's just Preston. So.
Well, you know, I've been to some pretty crazy parts of Preston.
Yeah, it was probably like Cub River.
Yeah.
So, I love that area. Beautiful
Dude,
area.
Dude, I would love to live up in Cub River.
Neighbors might be a little, well, we won't get into that. But
hey, I'm from Richmond, Utah, man.
Oh yeah.
We like backwood kind of folks.
That's fair. Yeah, so I was born in Fielding, which is kind of a suburb of Tremont.
Suburb, yeah.
And then I know, right? What was so I call it? And then was actually raised for, you know, like 11 years of my life in Thatcher, so just outside of Tremont.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, went to McKinley Elementary School. Yep. Still really close friends with my next door neighbor, Brandon, after all these years, also went to Utah State, but, yeah. And then moved to Preston. My parents owned a restaurant in Tremont and then we bought one in Preston and that's why we ended up there. So that wasn't too far of a move. It felt like I was moving a world away.
Yeah, when you're a kid, man.
Yeah. You're a kid. There's no cell phones. All of that makes you feel like this is it. And luckily I've been able to stay in touch with a lot of them. Because of going to Utah State, because you know those two areas really feed to the Cache Valley scene a lot, so that was kind of cool. But yeah, I actually remember—I don't want to go too far ahead—but I remember my first Aggie experience. So I don't really want to talk too much about this on the air, but my parents had BYU football season tickets for.
Excuse me, sir.
I know. I apologize for even saying those three letters together on this podcast. Just want everyone to know my background. I was converted at a very young age to the Navy and white. I remember my first Aggie experience was in Tremont McKinley Elementary School. They made an announcement over like the intercom that if you wanted tickets to go to Utah State basketball game, they had a whole bunch of them given to the district to try to interest kids in going to Logan. Right. And so they gave a bunch of tickets out. And I remember going to the front desk and talking to Mrs. Spackman. And I was like, look, I don't know. I want as many tickets as you'll give me. I don't know who in my family can go. She let me ended up letting me call my mom to be like, hey, can we go to the game tonight in Logan? And sure enough, me and my older brother, who was going to Utah State, and my dad went. We sat behind the hoop opposite of the student section. I remember it. And watched the Aggies play. And it was just, that was my first time being at like a basketball game of that level. And that's where it just started to like,
it gets in your blood.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially being that close to it, because you grow up in those small towns in the area that you don't realize like there's a Division I, like major, mid-major program right amongst us. And especially in football now, like it's getting so much attention and we'll get into it more as we go through this, but like this year's basketball team and this year's football team, It just brings so much joy and pride for the area, not just necessarily Logan and Utah State, but like growing up in all those small little, we'll call them suburbs from now, but farming towns that are all around. And so that's kind of my background with where I first sampled Utah State. I remember my brother moving from Tremont after he graduated from Bear River, going to Utah State, and I can't remember which apartments he moved into, but I was always over there and just thought Logan was the coolest place. Like, I just thought it was the coolest, which it is, but it's just, you know, that perception as a young kid thinking that my brother's doing something big and going on to bigger things, you know, it's kind of cool.
The big city.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Yeah. So you being in Richmond, did you have any similar experiences as a kid being that close to school?
Yeah. So actually, when we first moved to Utah, it was to Providence.
Now, where'd you move from?
Idaho. My stepdad got a job with Icon. It was Proform, actually Westlow at the time.
Oh, wow.
Doing their customer service. He was heading that up. And so, you know, they brought us into town. And at 5 years old, we moved into Providence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when I was 10, I think I was 10. Maybe a little younger. I think it was 93.
Okay.
It was the last time Utah State beat BYU back.
Football?
Yeah, it was like 50.
93? Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, was it 93?
Yeah.
It was like 56, 58 or something like that, whatever. Like that. It was a crazy, crazy game. So similar. My mom got, somebody said, hey, we have extra tickets. Do you guys want to take these? And my mom took me. And I remember just having it just go crazy. Like, I was thinking to myself, what?
When they beat BYU.
Yeah. They ripped down the goalpost. So
I was just going to say, my older brother that I just said, he was at that game and he was pulling the goalpost down. Like, he was that part was, of that.
Well, I'm sure this will come so up in awesome. Later episodes or later. That was like the hardest thing for me when we beat BYU 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
And they kept telling us, don't touch them. And me and Ty Wesley were on the sidelines. Uh-huh. And Ty and I were like, rip them down, rip them down. And the cops are like,
don't you?
If you guys do it, we'll arrest you guys. And Ty and I said, they can't arrest all of us. And one of the cops looked at me and said, yeah, but we can arrest you too. And I said,
They're like, we know who would start this is Wild Bill.
Okay. I said, all right, maybe we won't go rip it down. But
that
was like, that was a big thing. You know, I always wanted to rip down the goalpost.
I remember thinking that too. I thought that's what you did. And like, isn't that normal? But it got so dangerous and stuff too. And then
expensive.
I was going to say that you got repairs you got to deal with before next home games. And yeah, I get it, but come on.
Yeah.
Let us live a little.
Yeah. That was a little known fact. My friend Ryan Bayless, you know, Ryan.
Oh yeah. Ryan Bay. Yep.
The beginning of that season, I forget what year it was, like 2009, 2010,
mm-hmm.
2009 football season, I think, or 2010, whatever it was, we beat BYU at home. Ryby and I took a couple tokens from Aggie Ice Cream, and we went and did some voodoo juju
uh-oh.
On the goalposts, and we buried some Aggie Ice Cream tokens, and and we did some chants and we put a little Buddha in, in the north end zone. And he sat there all year.
No kidding.
People never saw him. He was on on the cement, you know, up kind of by where the stands are. But little Buddha sat there. So we'll take some credit there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we did some voodoo.
And that season, like, we'll take any credit. We'll give anyone credit for whatever. I don't care. We beat BYU that year.
Hey, man.
I don't care.
I tell you what.
If we keep saying those three letters together, I'm going to start swearing.
I know. I had tears in my eyes that night.
Yeah.
I really did.
I remember that as well.
And now it's just like, well, we beat them all the time.
We better.
Because who are they?
Yeah, seriously.
I will say this. I did marry a cougar from the south.
Oh.
She's not from down there. She's from Bountiful, but I love her to death.
I'm surprised you said that in the first podcast. Like, there goes half our viewership.
You know what,
Wild
man?
Bill sold out and married a cougar.
Yeah,
That's not the kind of cougar I thought you'd end up with.
I know. Here's the thing, man. I thought I would never do it. And, I tried to get rid of hate in my life. And so I was like, I'm not going to hate BYU anymore. And, I had a bunch of shirts and stuff that were anti-BYU shirts. I got rid of them. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to like them, but I'm not going to hate them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met my wife like a month later. And I was like, oh, she's a BYU person.
Yeah.
Really tested me.
Yeah.
And, you know what, though? I'm happy. I love
Good
it.
Good for you.
And it's been a great couple years to be married to a cougar because
it has. What's she gonna say?
Seriously, you know, like it's been great.
Yeah,
so
good for you. Yeah, it's good timing on your part.
But she comes to games with me.
Yep,
she wears Aggie blue.
Good for
you know,
her.
She wears Utah State gear.
Good.
She knows my passion. She knows my love. So she's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
So you know what, guys, we can convert, right?
Yeah. We can do this. We should proselyte.
Exactly. I've told her, you know, our kids are going to go to Utah State.
Right.
She says, we'll see. So, which means I'm right. Right,
right.
We'll see means I'm right.
Yeah. It means you think you're right.
Yeah, I think so.
She's going to let you think you're right for now.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's my experience with kind of very similar. You know, just kind of got some tickets on short notice and then went and had the time of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, never forget that. I thought the Spectrum, too, was like the biggest arena I'd ever seen. I hadn't been to a
Does it get any bigger
yet.
Than there? I mean,
no,
I just remember specifically
thinking, like, you're right on the floor, but, like, it looks so, you're so close. Like, the seats are so close together and everything that it just, even if it's not at capacity, it looks completely full.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. I mean, obviously, yeah, I love the
those
students,
fall colors.
Yeah, that's the thing, those leaves on the in the seats. But I remember as a kid just sitting there, just and the smell, like the Spectrum smells different than yeah. like most basketball arenas. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Well, there's not beer everywhere.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it, for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah,
no, it's
funny.
It's definitely a unique spot, and you know, we are small, we're relatively small, but man, it feels like the entire universe when you know, I couldn't imagine being a different
yeah.
school in there mm-hmm. trying to play against us,
yeah,
you know, you know, and especially this year and past years, yeah. like we've had some crazy times. We yeah. both were at that Nevada game.
Yep, both there. Saw each other, yep. hung out.
Kellen actually paid me. Was
I was
one
of the donors for
one
the
of the donors
shirtless
that got,
Bill.
To get me go back down to the
that,
front row.
I got to tell that story. I know.
I had no plans on it. Yeah. People were like, oh, man.
But it's
doing
okay.
It again?
It's Nevada. We see Sean Harris there. Rybay's there. Jeff Thompson's there. I don't
Matt
even
Anderson.
Know. Matt Anderson's there. Yeah. So
and then my buddy that I came with, his name's Mark Robbins. His daughter goes to Utah State.
Oh, does she?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he wanted to go. So we got some really great tickets.
Cool.
And it was actually really just an awesome guy bought some tickets for me.
Yeah.
And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, because I couldn't find any tickets and they were sold out.
Yeah.
He found some on StubHub and said, here you go. Dude, and he was awesome. I'll try and get him on here because that guy is Sergeant Tyson.
Yeah. But I saw you right when I walked in. You were the first person I saw, which was crazy. So I said
great
hi.
Great tickets, man.
Yeah. And then I went around and then at half I come back and everyone's talking to you and I could hear Jeff just really encouraging you to just do it once.
I wasn't
going to
do
it. He's got to be talking about taking his shirt off.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, there's no way Bill's wife is cool with this. Like she's like, she's like, don't do it. Like, no, she's like, how much, you know, she's like collecting from us. She gives me your Venmo handle so that I can Venmo you.
She's like, hey, if we can get a couple bucks.
Yeah, and it was so worth it.
Hey, $250 later.
Is that what you ended up with?
Yeah.
Easiest $250 you've ever made.
No, it wasn't easy. You know, it really wasn't because I walked down there and I was, man, I was a wreck.
Yeah, just nervous.
It's been years. You know, it's been years since I've done it. And a little known fact is I have some pretty bad social anxiety.
Yeah, okay.
And people don't know this, but before games, mm-hmm. when I was there, I was freaking out in the back room and crying and
oh, no way.
Legit breaking down.
Oh, man.
I would get into a different mindset.
I'd become Wild Bill.
I'd go out to the game. I'd enjoy the first half. I'd go back in the locker room and I'd cry
again.
This is real. And I would freak out hardcore.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. And then then we go do – I'd get back into that Wild Bill mentality.
Yeah.
And really, if you know, you've heard me talk, but when people – get to know me and they hear I talk about Wild Bill's, he's a different person because in my life he had to be a completely different entity. And so you know, I'd get into Wild Bill and he'd take over mm-hmm. and he'd do his thing, and then after the game, you know, if I had time I'd go freak out, otherwise we'd go party.
right.
But yeah, it was pretty intense. So
you said that this podcast is Wild Bill. Like, what persona am I getting into?
you're gonna give me, bro. You'll get all of me. Whatever it is. You know, there's personalities you haven't seen yet.
Now I'm talking. Just more reason to tune in.
Yeah, there you go. But so I got back down there, and the students were so cool to me.
They were taking pictures.
They were, dude, you're so cool, and they make you feel cool.
Yeah,
you know, so I told them, hey, I'm just going to come down for mm-hmm. one quick go, and they're like, yeah, absolutely, that's really cool. And then the entire time I was waiting for a foul,
yeah,
I was
just
a wreck.
Sweating bullets.
I was a wreck. Man. I was just like, all my anxiety came back, like. People are going to hate this.
Nobody
you know,
hates it.
You know, well, I'm sure there are some. I read some of those blog posts.
Really?
Oh, man, read fan posts all the time.
Yeah,
people,
yeah,
you know, they're real tough behind a computer screen. But
yeah, that's true.
And that's fine. You know, people are entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
I'm in the mindset you don't have to like me for me to like you.
Right.
No, you don't have to. I mean, yeah. I can understand. I don't rub everybody the right way. But if you're cool, I'm going to like you either way.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have to be around you because if you don't like me, you probably don't want to be around
right.
me. But I'm still going to like you.
Yeah. No, that's good.
But no, I was really nervous. And then right when I did it, you know, I got some cheers.
Yes, you did.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I got back, went back up, and I was done. And,
You
know, I had to go outside and kind of cool off. And,
right.
you know, my wife, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. But it was really cool because she got to see a part of my life that she hasn't seen before,
yeah.
you know, because I've only known her the last
couple years. No, I imagine that was kind of cool for you guys just to be like, yeah, this is me. And, like, I mean, the one thing, and you kind of just touched on it with, you don't have to like me to like, for me to like you, but. Like, I think everyone I know likes you. Like, when I remember up at school, even before me and you became, like, close friends, you were always very kind. And that's something that I think that's kind of the culture, typically, Utah State. It's one thing I like about the Valley as a whole.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
For the most part, it's really good people.
When you talk
to people from outside of the Valley, they're like, man, everyone's so nice here and things like that. But
You have your off, you know, your off moments. And so I'm sure there's been times that I've offended people and I've done things.
Right.
And, you know, that might be their one interaction with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm not always great. I'm just not.
Right.
But people are really cool to me.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of hate.
But
you get some here and there. But you just tune out the haters and the love you get from everybody is awesome. Utah State, man... I tell you what, Utah State knows how to support people.
Yeah,
I think that's what makes us great fans.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's awesome.
Yep,
I love growing up in Cache Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I split the time with California
mm-hmm.
And in Utah because my parents are divorced. But, you know, I had a great dad, a great stepdad, and a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I was blessed to live many different places. But... I call Cache Valley home.
Yeah.
And it'll always be home. Holds a special place in my heart. And Utah State, I can't when it gets brought up, I'm always, hey, I'm an Aggie, you know?
Yeah.
And I get excited to talk to people about Utah State because it's a big part of my life.
Yeah. That's one thing from my experience at Utah State was pretty different from yours in the aspect of who I ran with was not like the athletes and stuff so much.
Yeah. You were a big man on campus though.
Well, I don't know. I just got involved and that's where like for me, anytime somebody's like, what should I do when I go to school? Like my nieces, nephews, kids that I help do baseball a little bit with still and things like that. I'm always like, it doesn't matter where you go. Go get involved through the student involvement in some way, volunteer for stuff, do something. Because once I did that, given I worked with some incredible people, and that's a big part of why Utah State, I think is so that has that culture. I think it comes right from the administration. I think that James Morales does a great job of trying to make sure that there's an inclusive culture. And right below him, I love Linda Zimmerman. She's literally those years that I was there. She was my mom away from home. Like she cared about me on such a deep level. I don't know how many meetings I met with her and she just is nothing but support. But that is where it all kind of stemmed from for me was realizing that I could get involved on campus. I was helping plan these big events and do those kinds of things. And that's kind of where my world kind of came from was planning the Howl and helping book talent. Me and my buddy Tom, we actually ran his production company for those years that I was there too.
Yep.
So we booked talent outside of the school. But at the school, they'd leave it up to us. I mean, Linda and Kevin Webb,
they'd
literally
brought in,
be like, hey, do what you want. Just make sure that it's an inclusive event.
You guys brought in Catch-A-Fire for me. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
That was
basically just for you. You don't even know.
Because Tom heard me, like, I was just telling him, dude, you got to listen to these guys. They're so cool. Yep. It's a reggae band. And he's like, well, let's get them.
I
was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And
I remember when he had me listen to them.
He let me
I didn't
chill with them, and I got to hang out with them.
And they were chill,
dude. They were so cool.
Such a great band. But, and what was funny is we didn't know how many people were going to show up to that event.
Yeah.
And It started off kind of slim, and it just got packed. Dude, like, I remember by the
Paulies,
end,
the Paulies in Utah came in thick, bro.
It was so fun. That was a great one. I forgot about that one.
No, I didn't.
No, I know. I never will. See, that's the fun part about planning the events is, like, I was involved with a lot of them, and then sometimes when people will talk to me about it, like, even I ran into Sean Harris the other day at work. I work with him now.
Yeah,
and he remembered me. He's like, oh, yeah, you planned some of the events. And I was like, yeah, that's what I did. And he brought up some of those events that I was involved with, and it was just so cool to be like, oh yeah, that does make a difference. Yeah, I know it's not the academics. Yeah, I understand it's not the athletics, but that's a big part of, like, a lot of students don't like going to sporting events. You know what I mean? And so to be able to have people in charge that help students like me plan those events and make them available, I love that. And that's part of why I loved Utah State, was because even when I went to leadership conferences with other students from other schools, they would ask, like, what's Utah State doing? How are they so successful with the Howl and doing all these things? And I'm like, honestly, our leadership gives us autonomy. So they let us screw up sometimes. Yeah. Like, we booked some events that were complete flops, but, like, you got to do that because you're trying to make a diverse, you know, kind of a culture as far as, like, what kind of events you're going to do, that kind of thing.
You want to hit a wide range for everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Linda and Kevin did a great job of keeping that perspective, but also backing off and being like, do your event, like, you know, like, run it and fail a little bit and you'll learn. And most other schools are like, hey, this is the students' money. We're not going to let you fail, and they just want to hoard the role, and they don't do that in Logan. They want us to do the best. And when you have that kind of autonomy and you're looking at that as student fee money, you're way more responsible than you think you would be. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I would just want to spend it all, but then you're like, wait, I can't.
Yep.
So tell me this. I know that you were really involved with the school, like, that with the programming and whatever in student government. But let's talk about your sports.
Okay.
You played baseball.
Oh, yeah. I did for a bit. Yep.
And then you coached.
Yeah, I did. That was kind of crazy.
You were a pitcher, am I right?
I was, yep. I pitched. So what happened for me, I actually was recruited and was going to play Eastern Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on a mission. And then when I got back, nobody remembered who I was. The coaching staff changed at Eastern Arizona. Almost went to UVU.
Oh, really?
I talked to Coach Madsen there on the phone a couple times. He remembered me, told me to come walk on. I thought maybe I should just go try out at JUCO to try to get more playing time than just sitting on the bench at UVU, which is a D1 program. So I was kind of humming and hawing around that, and then ended up at Utah State, played that fall. It was a while ago, though, because then I actually couldn't afford school, then went back to school, and that's when I got more involved on campus. So I played, pitched, and then ended up getting asked by some of the players the year that they won their first national title, they wanted me to come play, but I was already doing the programming and events.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to keep my GPA up to keep scholarship. I have to plan these events. And I just told them, like, hey, it's probably not a good time. So I just listened to them on the radio when they were at nationals and they won it. And then 2 years later, I ended up getting asked by the head coach to take over the program. And
really?
So he asked me to be the assistant coach for that season so that I could kind of learn the ropes, because he wanted to retire. Norm Doyle is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude. He actually works for the NCBA, which is the National Club Baseball Association, as, like, their regional director to help make it keep happening, basically,
because
it's a club sport at Utah State, right?
Yeah.
But, and then I assistant coached that year, pitching coach, assistant coach, loved it, won the national championship that year as well. Got a really cool ring from it. That was really cool. The Lobs donate to that because they're big baseball fans.
Well, I knew they were baseball fans, but I didn't realize that he actually played. Jim Floyd played.
Yeah, from what I understand, he was. I understand he played back before when we had a team.
That's crazy.
That's what I understand. Yeah. I don't know any of the details beyond that. I've just been told that, and that's why. I mean, he's just a huge baseball fan. Anyway, if you go into his office, you'll see his desk is made of baseball bats, you know, that kind of thing.
He has baseball signed by everybody.
Yep, exactly. And so he was very generous, and we gave him a ring as well once we, you know, won that second title in 14, I think it was. But still, the program's doing really well. I had to stop coaching, actually, that next year. Me and Brad Singer coached, then Brad took over, and then I believe now it's Jake Anderson, who's a former player as well.
Wow.
We're trying to keep it away from one of the reasons I think that our club team is successful, and I think that hockey's kind of reaps the benefits of this as well. They are a much more developed program. They also do sell tickets to their events and stuff. But not having a player coach for baseball is a big deal in the club world, because if you have a player coach, that's legal, but you just, you're not as invested. There's no guy telling you or like calling the signs that's like just the coach. He's also going to be pitching the next game or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've done over the years, even when we weren't very good, we always had a player, like an ex-player coach, not a current player coach. And that's really beneficial. But yeah, so that's kind of where I come from as far as sports on that end. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. I still keep up with my Aggie baseball, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, heck yeah. I actually played baseball when I was younger. I love it. Yeah. It's all American boy, right?
Yeah.
Everybody plays baseball. Yeah,
got it. For a minute.
When I was in third grade, fourth grade, I tomahawked a bases loaded triple.
Oh, nice.
And I was, you know, I came at it swinging like a tomahawk, and it just went sailing over everybody.
That's awesome.
I don't know how. But I remember hitting a bases loaded triple, thinking it was the greatest.
Oh, it is. I don't know what else would be better.
I thought I was Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I love sports. I love playing all kinds of sports. I didn't really do much baseball because it's in the summer and I was always at my dad's.
Yeah.
For the in California, so I didn't get to play much. But
yeah.
You know, I always got to go watch my uncles play softball.
Yeah, that's
fun. Sit on the beer cooler.
Yeah, there you go. So I know most people, if they're listening to this, we probably told them to at this point, right?
Yeah.
But beyond this, once word gets out a little bit, I think people are going to want to hear, like, how did Wild Bill become part of you? You just mentioned it was a struggle to get into that headspace, but why did you want to do it? Like, what was motivating you to do it other than like maybe some pressure from us fans a little bit? Cause we loved it. It was like my favorite thing to go to the game, what costume he's going to wear, all of that. So maybe just give us a little bit of background into how you kind of created this alternate persona so that you felt like it was worth it.
So Ty Wesley, I used to, or I still one of my best buds. Mm-hmm. But now he plays on the other side of the world. So. But I would always give him crap because I'm not a basketball fan. Basketball is the one sport that I really didn't play. Mm-hmm. I wrestled in high school, and my dad also wrestled. And he'd make fun of basketball players, so I thought I had to. But I liked the basketball players on my team at my school. Mm-hmm. Nate Harris.
Yeah.
I wrestled with a kid named Nate Hansen. Nate Harris was actually I went to high school with him.
Oh, okay.
And he played, and he was, you know, he played at Utah State, mm-hmm. and a great guy. But so I wrestled. I didn't play basketball. I didn't find it very fun. I play some pickup now. It's a great exercise.
Yeah.
But so I didn't like it. But Ty wouldn't shut up about the sport. And he's like, dude, just come to a game. I'm like, dude, I've been to games ever since I was a kid. Like, it's basketball. And I remember, I think it was 2004. I went to Utah State versus Pacific. And Pacific came back with 1 minute. And they were down, like, I don't know, like 10 or 12. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back. And me and my buddies weren't really fans at the time. We sat up there, and I just made fun of everybody. I regret that.
Right.
You know, my buddies will bring that up all the time now. Like, I remember when you made fun of me. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Like, me now, I'd be pissed at myself for doing that.
Right.
So I just became, you know, he's like, just come. So I ended up going, and our friend Jake Frisbee,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of our buddies, Jade Frainer, and a whole bunch of these guys sat in the front row. And so I said, well, you know, I'll go sound sit by them. In the first game I did, I was like, oh, wow, there's something to this. Mm-hmm. Like, they get pretty intense down here. So a couple games in, I started taking off my shirt.
Okay, well, how does that happen? That was a hot, like, you just decided you needed to?
You've seen me, Kellen. I'm a very handsome man.
I am. I see a lot of handsome men that don't just take their shirt off on the front row.
You know what? It's because they're being jerks.
Oh, okay.
I owe it to everybody to let them see what my mama gave me. It was more my dad. I'm shaped like my father.
Right.
But, no, I'm a guy that loves to be as naked in public as possible.
Okay. As legally possible.
Yes. Yes. I have no problem with my body. And so I just say, and here's, it's kind of weird. I always feel weird when I'm in a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take off my shirt, because I feel like they're looking at me and staring at me.
Then you know they are.
And if I take off my shirt, I know they are, but it's on my terms.
Yep.
I wanted them to look at me. I'm gaining this attention. So it's kind of like that. But at the game, you just kind of get into things, right?
Yeah.
So I took my shirt off.
Do you still take your shirt off occasionally, other than when I pay you to?
At the games?
Just in public. I don't know.
Oh, man. If I go swimming, of course.
It's all, well, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't take my shirt off as much anymore. Mm-hmm. That beautiful bride of mine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's probably wants to keep that to herself.
Yeah, that's all hers. But, I started taking my shirt off.
Yeah.
And then I started painting things on my stomach. I actually ran for the diversity vice president.
I remember that.
I lost 2 times. But the second time, I wrote Vote Bill for Div. D-I-V. And people thought it was hilarious. Didn't win, but
no.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
Probably wouldn't have done a good job, because that would have been probably would have been too focused on other things.
Yeah, it's a hard job, I'll tell you that.
But the next year, BYU was coming to town.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, how can I offend them?
Hold on. I think that's like 90% of Aggie fans' thoughts before they come to town. Yes. How can I offend them?
How can I offend them without going to jail? Can't just go punch them.
Yeah, nope.
You know, and run a list off. Can't punch them. You know, I can't really say anything negative about their religion. I wasn't going to church at the time.
Yeah.
But my mom and my family, and it's like, I can't turn my back on them. So I was like, well, can't say anything negative there. Well, I know they don't like nudity there, so I'm getting as naked as possible. So I did a Chippendales outfit. I figured, hey, you know what?
This will get them.
My Chris Farley tribute. Actually, my senior year of high school, I tried out for Mr. Skyview. I'm a Skyview undergrad. And I wore the Chippendales tuxedo, what lack of tuxedo.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you mean a bow tie?
Yes, a bow tie and
slacks. Barely.
And they told me I was trying too hard. It wasn't my personality. And, you know, so they're not moving me on to the next round because, you know, it's not that funny. Well, it worked out later
in
life.
And it was that funny, by the way.
So, then it came to, let's dress up. Well, I have an outfit I can make like this. This mm-hmm. will be fun. So then I decided, all right. So, and then people liked it.
Yeah.
People were like, what are you doing next? I'm like, well, you'll see. Hold on.
Yeah, you'll see, but you're also trying to make it up as you go.
Yeah, well, St. Mary's is coming into town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
that
was
that bracket buster game, wasn't it?
No, not
that
this one.
That wasn't that one? Oh,
not
okay.
This one. They were just coming into town. Maybe it was. I don't think it was. But anyway, okay. I had a outfit that I had made for Nacho Libre, Jack Black.
Oh, of course.
And St. Mary's, Catholic, like
makes sense.
Nacho Libre,
yep.
Kind of Catholic.
Yep.
You know, I was like, okay, I'm doing
very
this.
Very Catholic.
But I don't know.
He
wants some toast. But yeah, no, the movie's very, obviously very funny.
Yeah.
But, so I decided, hey, I'm going to go this way with it.
I like it.
And then people are like, what are you doing next? I'm like, well, you'll see. And at this point, obviously nothing made up in my head. And then, but I'm good at coming up with things. So, sometimes it was day of, I'd come up with a costume.
Just hits you.
When I say day of, I mean like 3 hours before the game tipped off.
Yeah.
But I was at the Spectrum 8 hours before game.
Yeah.
So I had plenty of time to think about stuff. Yeah.
What was like your most short term, like your shortest notice, like of determining what you wanted to wear? Do you know what I'm asking? Like,
yeah. So the,
what was the most thrown together thing you did?
Well, really it was about Maybe it wasn't the most short, but it was definitely short notice. It was within 4 or 5 hours of game time, and it was my my Cupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That one was pretty popular.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Ty was dating this girl at the time, and she was working at a suntan place.
Okay.
You go get fake bakes. And so he's like, well, let's go see her. I'm like, okay, I'll go get a fake bake. So I went in, and I never burn. Like, you know, I'm part of my Hawaiian blood.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I just don't burn. Well, they changed out these bulbs, brand new bulbs on this bed, and it was like this was supposed to be really high quality bed. I had no idea. And Ty's like, go for like 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll just go for however long so you can hang out with the girl. And
yeah.
So I went in and I burned myself worse than I've ever been burned. And I was pink.
Uh-huh.
I was literally pink. And I was like, man, people are going to see this on TV and I'm going to look like a moron.
Yeah.
You know, like people, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I was thinking TV, but again, because I think this is actually the one that got picked up on TV. Well, I was like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a bunch of pink stuff and red.
Yeah.
And it's February, so that's coming close to Valentine's. I'll be Cupid. So it just, you know, I ran down to the dollar store real quick and bought a bunch of, like, I bought these little girl tutus. I bought, like, 3 of them, cut them up, tied them together, made a little tutu. I bought some wings for $1.
Yeah.
And I bought a bow and arrow. And if you look at that real close, you can see a little bit of burn on
it. Yeah, I've noticed. I did not know that was why.
Yeah.
Little tan line. Well, burn line.
yeah, burn line. But it's that's what happened, man.
That is awesome. So do you have a favorite?
Favorite costume?
Yeah.
I have a few that I really kind of just near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I made a Christmas tree.
Okay.
And it was during, I think it was during Gosner Classic game.
Oh, okay.
And because it's close to Christmas, right? And I actually ran an extension cord over. And
oh, my gosh.
I actually still have the shirt. I hot glued Christmas lights all over my shirt.
Uh-huh.
I bought this really cool, like, Christmas tree kind of thing that it was like a cone. And I just sat on my head like a hat. And put a bow on top of it.
Yeah.
And then I stood up, started dancing, and then I had my friend, as I was right before they shot, I had him plug it in. not sure it was legal. They didn't say anything about it, but,
yeah,
you know, we didn't get any trouble, so.
That's good.
I liked that one, and then I did a snowman.
Oh, okay.
Snowman was really fun.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. They all kind of have.
What one was it? That you, like, was it the Cupid one where you started to get attention nationally?
Yeah, the Cupid one's actually where I got on the not top 10 of the week.
And it wasn't because you weren't top 10. It was because the guy missed both free throws. Well, yeah,
Marvin Jefferson from
he
Idaho.
He was literally, I was going to say it was Idaho.
Yeah.
And, I was one of the best things I've ever seen on ESPN.
So, I was not top 10, number 1 for the week, and I was number 2 for the year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That is pretty stellar.
One of my claim to fame.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Second claim to fame, I was Playboy's college sports fan of the year 2011.
I did not know this.
I used to have a Playboy for
you. Don't have cards with that on it, dude, that you hand out to people?
I tell people that all the time.
That is awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, I said, Mom, want to look at this Playboy with me? No, what? Mom, I'm in it.
What?
She's like, that's cool, but that's gross.
You're like, well, it's only gross for you.
I know. You know, no, and I wanted to, like, put the article up and, you know, because my name was in there. Not a picture of me, but a name, but there was some nudity right next to my name.
Oh, it's tough.
And I was just I don't really want
to. I'll look it up. I did not know that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, dude.
So then ESPN... How do they get in touch with you? Like, that's one of the things I've always wondered about ESPN. Like, they
called Utah State.
And then they just track you down. But how did, like, because Utah State can't give away student information just willingly.
So they called me. Utah State called me.
Asked you
which they've done plenty of times because I was on
okay. Academic Warning.
Yes. No. I yeah, they called me and said, "Hey, ESPN wants to talk to you. Can we give them your number?" And I said, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
And then they said, "Hey," they called me up, talked to a guy named Baron, cool guy.
Uh-huh.
He's like, "Hey, we want to fly you out here for a week." And, you know, after, you know, from Selection Sunday to that Friday, we're doing this midnight Bracket Buster show.
Uh-huh.
And we want you here kind of comic relief, just have fun with us. And I said, "Okay, I can do that." And then, so I went out there for a week, and it was awesome. I worked with, she's huge now, Molly Karam.
Uh-huh, yep.
Huge now, but back then she was not so big. She really just did like MMA stuff and some college game day stuff. But I worked with her, and she was just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But we had – I had a blast out there for a week. I had a couple friends come with me.
Did you?
We went all over Charlotte, North Carolina, where ESPNU is. Went and visited Duke.
And
Andy Katz was nice enough to call up the Duke people, and they opened up and let me walk around Cameron Indoor and go through their Hall of Fame
in
their locker rooms and stuff
that
like
is
that.
Awesome.
So it was an experience I'll never forget.
For sure.
You know?
Did you meet anybody that just sticks with you still? Or?
Well, Molly Karam was there, Scott Van Pelt, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair was
dude,
there?
Greatest moment of my
life. I was going to say, that's got to be up there, dude.
Dude, so I was in... Okay, so I was in the bathroom with Scott Van Pelt. Ric Flair was in the bathroom on the phone with Hulk Hogan. "Hey, Terry, what? We got to do this, Terry." I was like, "Oh, my gosh." And I was like, "I'm living a SportsCenter commercial."
You are, dude.
This is the greatest thing ever.
You are a SportsCenter commercial. That's
and, remarkable. Dude, Scott Van Pelt was just a sweetheart of
a
man.
Yeah, he seems like
I was sitting in the lobby waiting for the car to come pick me up, and he came. He's like, "Hey, you're Wild Bill from Utah State." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm Scott. I'll be working with you throughout the week." And he's like, "Have you done this before?" I said, "No." He's like, "Hey, just know I'm here for you. You'll get right into it.
Oh,
it's really
cool.
Not a big deal. You're going to be awesome."
That's
and I was
awesome.
Just like, "Dude, Scott Van Pelt's the man."
Dude, that's cool.
And so I thought it was so cool that he would come and talk to me.
Yeah.
And really just put my nerves at ease.
Yeah.
You know? So
absolutely. Cool.
It was really fun.
That's really cool. So let's shift gears for a minute. So then you become somewhat of a celebrity, especially on campus. Like everyone saw everything about you on SportsCenter, you on ESPNU, all of that. What happened after that? Because like I remember you got sick at one point. You weren't doing super well health wise.
Died.
Yeah, essentially, right? Kind of what led up to that? Was there any specific events? Like, what were you doing after you kind of accidentally became famous?
Honestly, man, I was just being an idiot, living my life.
Now, did you work with, like, didn't you work with not Jackass Boys, but
Thrillbillies?
Thrillbillies, that's
so
what it was.
They were the Nitro Circus.
Travis Pastrana's crew,
his wife, and
And they have local ties heavily, right?
Yeah. Like so the two guys that kind of own the Nitro Circus brand and started it are from Utah. Greg Godfrey's from not too far from here.
Yeah.
In fact, when I'd come down to film, we would stay in Draper in Cottonwood Heights.
Oh, cool.
You know,
right here.
Yeah, right here. And so, yeah.
How did you end up with them? Did
they hit up
you?
Yeah, they hit up. I don't know if it was me or my publicist at the time or what, but they said, "Hey, would you like to come shoot with us?" And yes.
You say yes to that.
Yeah, and then I ended up getting sick during the middle of that season, so I didn't finish it out, and I never did go back. But, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, I remember the I was actually with Linda Zimmerman talking about you when you were in the hospital and things like that. And, man, it was a somber time for all of us, even if you weren't super closely tied to it. Like, because, again, everyone knew your heart, knew you were a really kind person. And then to see you get laid up like that and right after having so much fun for the past year, like...
When I was going hard, man, like... When I went out to, I had flown out to, so we actually, I took the bus with the cheer team to the WAC tournament in Reno.
Okay.
I flew out of Reno to ESPN in Charlotte, North Carolina. They couldn't change my ticket to go to Spokane, so they just flew me back to Salt Lake. And I put on my Twitter or Facebook, hey, sorry, I won't be able to make it, you know. And this guy, he's actually a friend of the family, called up and said, hey, you want to go to the game? I said, yeah, but he's like, I'll come grab you.
Wow.
And so I flew in. I was at my sister's in Cottonwood Heights for an hour. I took the train up to Ogden. My uncle took me from Ogden to Tremont. they picked me up in Tremont, and we headed up.
Holy cow.
And we went, and we drove through the night all the way up to Spokane.
Wow.
And I got in Spokane about 4 hours before the game time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, all the while, my heart function, my ejection fraction was about 10%.
Wow.
And it sunk in just below that. But, you know, normal's 55 to 70. And, you know, when I finally ended up going to the hospital, they're just like, I don't know how you're walking right now.
Yeah.
But, wow. Yeah, I was living on a high, man.
Yeah.
Just living on a high. I did end up dying for a little bit, but... I always thought it was, you know, the coolest thing, claim to fame. Oh, I died before. And then Danny Berger, one of my good buddies, had to go dive, and I'm not the only guy in the room anymore.
Oh, geez.
Thanks, Danny.
That's how you viewed that whole scenario with Danny. Yeah.
No, that actually broke my heart.
No, I know. I'm just teasing, but that's...
But I like to tease him about it. You know,
he's got to one-up you, dude.
Got it, yeah, man. Yeah. Really? And he, you know, and he works with people with heart stuff now, so...
Yeah. That's awesome. So, all right, I want to... Because I know we don't want to spend too much time... on this initial one, even though we're already almost at an hour. But I got to ask a couple other questions Aggie-related.
Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
So I know you like to cook.
Love it.
Me and you both.
Yes.
Big-time cooks. In fact, if we're doing some live podcasts up in Logan during football games, stuff like that, we'll probably be cooking. We'll probably have some food.
We absolutely will have food.
So if you were to host an Aggie-themed dinner party, who would be your top five all-time living or dead Aggie invitees?
Merlin Olsen.
Absolutely.
I would definitely invite Merlin Olsen.
Who else you got? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Probably the most famous Aggie ever may ever be.
I mean, I'd probably go with Lavelle Edwards.
Yep. Yeah, I like that one.
I know.
Just to remind him he's an Aggie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let him rub shoulders, you know, with people who kept it awesome.
Yeah.
No, you know, great respect for mad guy, the mad respect for his career.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
He went down south a little too far, but
he's a legend. In both valleys.
Yeah.
Like,
doesn't matter. He's amazing.
Yep.
Let's see. I would. Who else would I want?
I'll tell you one of mine is Sam, I believe it's Sam Cowell or something like that. He was a Sigma Chi, which I was a Sigma Chi at Utah State. And I can't remember his exact name. I'd have to Google it. But he was in the FBI. And he was actually in a shootout with Babyface Johnson.
Yes.
And there was a movie made about it. But, he was from Franklin.
I don't know.
And then he went to Utah State.
There's actually a plaque of
in
him.
Old Main.
In Old Main.
Yep, that's how I learned about it. I didn't know about this. And then... yeah, so I'd invite him. I would want to hear about all of that. How do you go from Franklin, Idaho, to the FBI in Chicago? You know, crazy.
I'd probably also throw Wayne Estes on there.
Yeah, he'd be.
I would definitely want to meet up with Wayne Estes. You know, let's see. There's just so many great Aggies to choose from.
I agree. But those are some I would have thought of too. All right. Let's shift gears though. What are you going to cook for him?
Okay. Well, I would like to give him a little taste of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, I'd probably do something with the Dutch oven potatoes and be there.
All right. I thought you were going to say, just go get Mobettas and take it to him.
I would never go get Mobettas for somebody. Mobettas is good.
I know
it's fine.
You feel about it, but
if I'm doing Hawaiian food, I'm doing Hawaiian food. It's my recipes, my family recipes. We'll cook Hawaiian food. the way it's supposed to be cooked.
I don't know if I've seen you get so red so fast.
You know what? It's fine. Mobetta's is good, but yours I'm Mobetta.
There you go. Sorry. So, all right. So, Dutch oven potatoes.
Yeah, I would definitely hit it with some Dutch oven potatoes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd probably smoke some kind of meat for them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I would throw in some Hawaiian dish. Fair Maybe enough. Like a teri chicken or yeah. some spam.
Well, I've had teriyaki, and I'm putting it on everything right now.
Oh, yeah. Did you take that home, right?
I did, dude.
Pretty good? Oh,
my goodness, yeah. I mean, I can't eat a lot of it because it's, you know, it's got sugar.
Yeah.
But just a little bit to flavor some things. Even eggs. I put it on eggs the other day.
It's pretty good stuff, huh?
Could go on it. Well, I do a little sriracha with it, so it's like a spicy teri.
So
oh.
if I do it for my buddies, I always throw,
spice.
I do about a 4-to-1 ratio. All right. With more teri than sriracha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that. And then, you know, if they wanted dessert, I'd let them go eat whatever. I hate dessert. So.
All right. Fair enough.
You know, do maybe a Dutch oven cobbler
fair
for them.
But, all right.
You know, I have a very diverse background. My dad was Hawaiian Chinese. My mom's a country girl from Idaho.
Yeah.
So, and my country grandma could cook like nobody's business, meat and potatoes, anything. My mom is a fantastic cook. My dad was a great cook, learned a lot of stuff from him. My Chinese grandma was an amazing cook.
Yeah.
So, it just, I love to cook.
Yeah, I'm with you. Parents on two.
What would you make them?
Well, honestly, my dad's Dutch oven potato recipe is one of my favorites I've ever had.
Do you put soda in it?
No, huh? Soda.
Yeah, a lot of people put soda. Oh, I never put soda in my Dutch oven. Yeah, like a can.
If you're doing it right, it should be butter, if anything.
Hey,
that's Dutch oven.
Just a crab ton of bacon.
Bacon and tons of bacon.
You know what I use?
What's that? Oh no!
All right, I'll spill it. I don't usually like to give lots of tips, but I'll give you this. The bacon ends in pieces.
Yeah.
That's how you use it. All
right.
It's better than because you get chunks of bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with that.
It's better than just, you know, cut up strips of bacon. This is full on just chunks. And you get in a big old chunk of bacon with some potato and carrot.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Change your life.
Yep. So, yeah. My secret, it's not really a secret ingredient, but one of the things that I've done that people always compliment on, they're always like, what is that I'm getting? It's brown sugar.
Yeah.
So you do the salt and pepper. Well, I actually do Montreal steak instead of salt and pepper because it has the whole peppercorns.
Yeah.
And then what we're talking about a cooking show now. Should we switch over to that? But then some brown sugar because it's got the molasses in it as well. It gives it almost like a smokiness. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then tons of cheddar, like at least a pound. Just on top.
And I do throw some cheese on it for people. I usually will pull out some for myself.
And then I'll cheese them up. All right. That's fair.
I like the taste of cheese. It just dairy doesn't sit with me well.
Oh
so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. I would probably do that. Prime rib would be something I'd like to do.
I love doing prime rib.
Yeah. No, that's good.
But I, you know what? I really like. I'm very big into canning and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you know,
I've been pickling a lot of stuff. Like,
dude, I pickle everything.
Stuff. Yeah, I love it.
You know what I pickled? About 3 years ago, I was pickling some eggs, and I had some extra brine.
Yeah.
And so I pickled some apples.
Oh, I've never done that.
Bro.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Change your life.
Yeah.
It's great on salads.
Yeah, I imagine.
Not everybody likes pickled apples. I pickled some radishes, and they were okay. But, I like pickling things.
Yeah,
pig's feet, eggs, whatever.
I haven't done pig's feet. I've had them. I haven't done them. I probably never will.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
You're not as cool as me.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I'll let you have that one.
No, it's gross. I understand, but I like it.
Yeah. No, it's just weird.
So I think this is a good first podcast for us.
Yeah. Hopefully, you kind of get the idea of what we want to do. I really look forward to it just because, I mean, I know we went off on cooking for a second there, but you're well connected in the Aggie community with athletics in a lot of ways, as far as who your friends are. You mentioned Ty Wesley, you've mentioned Danny Berger, things like that. And that's kind of who we're hoping, you know, we'll start there. Maybe we can grow this and start taking requests. And again, we do believe, like, I have a story. I wasn't on TV when I was at Utah State. I didn't go to ESPN, but I know that I have some cool stories, and I know there's so many others that are way cooler, and I want to hear from whoever wants to share their story.
I'm telling you, I want to get those boys, those UNLV water bomb boys, you know? I want to get – there's just so many legends out there. And keep in mind, this was our first one. We're going to dive into current affairs at Utah State as well.
Absolutely. And we didn't even get into that. We could have for an hour by itself talking about this year's teams.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
What? We had ranked football and basketball?
Yep. One of, like, what, four schools in the country that had that?
When was the last time we had that? We'll have to do some research.
Yeah. We need a stat boy here that's just like Googling everything as we go. That's
the greatest.
Fact checking us.
Yeah. No, you're right though. Like this is my vision. This is our vision. We want to bring just great Aggie vibe to everybody. And you know, you don't have to be an Aggie to enjoy this. I think I think this will be, you know, something everybody can get behind. But like we said earlier, you know, every Aggie is a legend. We want to know your story. What is your story? Tell us. If you guys have a story, please reach out to us. Let us know. And we would love to tell your story. And we'll have you on. And but we have, you know, we have a good lineup coming. Our next show, we'll actually have Sean Harris.
Yep.
We're going to sit down in the studio with him and just talk about what. All sorts of stuff. Whatever he does.
Yeah. Whatever he's done and does.
I know he plays basketball. Did play basketball. Still good friends with the guy. So we'll get him in here.
That'd be awesome.
And then, you know, we'll move on. But, you know, plug this. I don't know if he'll do it. A good buddy of mine, David Collette. I'd like to bring him on here and have him kind of run through what was going through his head when he left.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, you know, in the Aggie community weren't too happy with him, but you know, I'd like to give him some stuff to say. Sure. So, but there's everybody out there, you know, I'm excited. Yeah,
yeah.
Come let us know. We're excited.
Yeah. Awesome. Aggie Legends podcast. Keep tuning in.
Hey, thanks guys.
Thanks.